Today's audio cast for Monday, May 14th, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. Mike Blakeney reporting. Last week, Lockheed Martin began final implementation of its new flight services system in the Washington area, and it didn't go exactly according to plan. There were dropped flight plans and a lot of frustrated pilots who suddenly found themselves dealing with briefers who didn't understand the procedures for flying in the restricted airspace around the Capitol. David Wartofsky, who owns Potomac Airfield near Washington, tells AvWeb's Russ Niles that it was interesting for a couple of days, but operations are returning to normal, at least what passes for normal in that airspace.
Actually, just to clarify, we're inside the ADIS, but we're actually inside the FRZ. So the ADIS is the circle of confusion where we lie at the heart of the circle of doom. So we're about as central as you can get to it. Recently, I believe it was Sunday night at midnight, Lockheed consolidated various pieces of hardware, personnel, and what have you, and moved it over to the new hubs. And the new software and the new phone systems weren't 100% ready for prime time, causing basically quite a bit of delay and confusion.
What happened to pilots at Potomac?
Initially, what was happening all over the ADIS was you would make a call into the inside number specifically for these operations, and you'd get routed to a briefer in Fort Worth who had no idea what you were talking about for these kinds of special operations, and then the Fort Worth operator would then have to try and get Leesburg on the line. Leesburg would get on the line, and then they'd get the supervisor on the line. And it basically went back to sometime around 1947, just after World War II, briefly.
People starting to get it figured out?
The other factor that was going on was that a lot of Leesburg personnel, and a lot of personnel in these, were out in training. So you had a lot of the chess pieces all moving around at the same time that everything was being rewired. It was a total disaster Monday morning. But as was be expected, it was quickly being, you know, they've been cleaning it up and tightening it up, and it's been getting straighter and straighter literally every hour.
So what was happening? We've heard of dropped flight plans. And
yeah, there were dropped flight plans. There were lost clearances. There were, lengthy delays to get through to Leesburg. There was incorrect pass-off of the information from the Washington hub to the TRACON. There were problems with the TRACON as well. All the things you would expect when you make that kind of transition. I guess the one thing that surprised me is that they didn't shift it over sort of a spoonful at a time. They essentially decided to go full bore, with the whole thing. Usually, if you're going to have something go wrong, you want it to have it go wrong in a small area, shake it out, and then expand it. But it may have lended itself. It just was sort of an all or nothing. But it's been detangling, and I've been watching out my windows here indoors, and people have been flying pretty much continuously. There was some considerable frustrating, primarily Monday morning, but I'm sure there's lots of coverage on that.
Any F-16s launched because of all of this?
No. In fact, the flight plans we use that aren't flight plans and the air traffic procedures that we use that aren't air traffic procedures have actually been, when all the dots connect, there has been no problem whatsoever. Not a single aircraft shot down, which is always good. No unnecessary F-16 launches. It's been actually, that has been more a problem of getting access to the right person or the right group of people at Leesburg to handle the special operations. And then where there have been new people floating around, they haven't necessarily been familiar with those new procedures. But those contingencies were anticipated for. So, for example, if a pilot needed to pick up a special airspace clearance and the flight strip wasn't quite right, the TRACON would automatically call flight services, and also the DEN, the domestic event network, would be monitoring this stuff. So if there was anything alarming as opposed to confusing, they were in position to respond.
We can't pass up an opportunity when we're speaking with you to get your latest speculation on what's going to happen with the ADIS.
Well, in the ADIS, as people know from lots of other places, there's discussion of the SFAR making the ADIS permanent, who's on first, what's on second. One of the problems in the discussions was that I believe different parties, I more than suspect, that different parties were using common terms that had different meanings to different persons. For example, the DOD would look to a pilot under positive control. To a DOD operation means that the pilot has a squawk and is cooperating with the air traffic controller. And that's positive control. The other factor was that they are required to cooperate with the air traffic controllers. So DOD was pushing the idea of Class B to the surface. The problem, of course, from an air traffic control standpoint is that the FAA term for air positive control means that the controller takes on operational responsibilities to provide traffic separation, which actually has nothing to do with anything, at least not when you're doing the identify friend or foe. And so DOD was pushing for Class B for positive control in the context of what they understood positive control to be, and the air traffic controllers were tearing their hair out because the FAA term for positive control implied tons and tons of air traffic separation requirements. And I believe it has settled down. You know, Class D did not have the regulatory imposition on the pilot to cooperate with air traffic control, whereas Class C airspace does. So I would expect to see the ADIS turn into a round Class C that gives sufficient radius for pilots, for all the people watching radar tags and listening to frequencies, to enough time to establish that airborne targets are being cooperative and that they are under positive control in the sense that they have a squawk, they have a data tag, their track has been followed, and if the controller tells them to turn left, they'll turn left. There's still a number, I think, of open issues that have not been resolved, but I think it's sort of moving in the right general direction. One of the problems, of course, is that there was a fellow at DOD some time ago who, in a sneering tone, said that they're mistaking compliance for defense. And I all but wanted to, you know, take off my clothes and run naked down the runway, which I did not do, by the way, because compliance does not provide security. Compliance provides compliance. In fact, as I've said, I think even on my website for the airfield, that anyone strictly following the rules is immediately most suspect and should be the first one clapped in irons. Because compliance means that you are complying with publicly disclosed procedures. And if they're very confusing and very complex, and you are an attacker, then you will be meticulously complying with all public procedures. So think the difficulty in a lot of this stuff, and in fact I know the difficulty in a lot of this stuff, has been mistaking what are essentially identify friend or foe procedures with air traffic control procedures or with flight plans kind of thing. Years and years ago, when I briefed the fellow who was then head of operations at DCA on how what became the FRZ was supposed to work, I thought he summarized it rather nicely. He said, you're using sophisticated air combat IFF procedures with voluntarily participating civilian pilots. And I looked at him and with a smile and said, that's exactly right. You know, and it's obviously been, you get enough cooks in the kitchen and that turns into a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with the peanut butter and the jelly on the outside.
When do you think we're actually going to see something from the FAA on the final determination of the ADIS?
I can neither confirm nor deny, but I would suspect sometime perhaps in July you may start seeing some things floating out or actually actionable, you know, from the regulatory environment. Again, I know there are lots of things being discussed as to trying to get back to what were the objectives and what are the objectives and what are the contingencies and what are the strategies and the tactics. And I think also a lot of it's been a matter of people from different agencies actually sitting down and talking, occasionally shouting with each other and at each other, but to understand their terminology and so that their objectives can be understood in common terms. Like, for example, if I'll digress, and you can clip this out if you'd like. We had a Air Force operation where an Air Force pilot would ask for clearance into the FRZ, but they're clear of Class B airspace. So the Air Force pilot is asking air traffic control, am I cleared into the FRZ? And the air traffic controller would say, you're not entering Class B airspace, I can't clear you. Squawk 4567 or whatever. And so the Air Force operation would end up circling around out there, scratching their head. Military clearance is a, you know, stand and be recognized. your security clearance recognized. Have a nice day.
David Wartofsky of Potomac Airfield. Breaking news stories are now posted on the AFWeb.com homepage as they happen in a fresh, new, easy-to-navigate format. Be sure and check it out. And sign up for our news alerts, e-bulletins, or significant news will be sent to AbFlash subscribers alerting you to important developments as they occur. Sign up is free, and we promise we won't spam you or sell your name. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. And this report was brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. www.aviationconsumer.com. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Friday, May 18th. I'm Mike Blakeney, reporting for AvWeb Audio News. Thanks for listening.